start that. I didn't need correcting.
Shut up! Order!
Order! Let's start off as we need to go on.
We can see a better future.
So it's not a competition who can shout the loudest.
Hello and welcome to the Left Wingers podcast. I'm Kathleen.
And I'm Brandon. Today's episode comes in four parts in which we talk to those running to be Labour's candidate for South Yorkshire Mayor.
First, we talk to Rachel Blake, then Oliver Coppard, then Lewis Dagnall, and finally, Jane Dunn. We hope that you find them interesting to listen to, whether or not you live in South Yorkshire and if you're a voter there. And we are now joined by Rachel Blake. Rachel, first question, what is your favourite thing about South Yorkshire? And you can only pick one thing.
The friendliness of the people. I made South Yorkshire my home over a decade ago, and the welcome, the friendliness. It doesn't matter if you're in Doncaster or Barnsley, Rotherham or Sheffield. You know, when I'm going to have my hair cut in Sheffield, when I'm at a cafe in Barnsley or visiting the local authority in Rotherham or being out and about in my ward, it's that friendliness, that warmth that I just think is fantastic. And I think people, if you live somewhere else, it's often you don't realise how good it is. So yeah, definitely that friendliness. I mean, my daughter played football for Sheffield. So we obviously went all across South Yorkshire. And yes, it was competitive, obviously, but the warmth, the camaraderie, the support that, you know, mums and dads gave to each other's teams was just really nice. And I think that friendliness is fabulous. That's why I stayed here.
So when did you decide to run for South Yorkshire Mayor? When did you kind of think that this leap was right for you at this point in your political career?
About a week before the closing date. It was based on a conversation that we had in the office. I happened to be in having the Health and Wellbeing Board meeting, which I chair, in Doncaster, and people were talking about who was putting up. We obviously had a discussion that it was a shame that there weren't more people that weren't from Sheffield, because it appeared quite Sheffield heavy. And I volunteered my services, shall we say, to stand as the mayor. I've never stood, I was saying to Brandon before, I've never applied to be an MP or anything, because my home and my passion is local government. And this to me is all about a big local government. And that's why I stood. So, yeah. I've not had months of preparation. It literally was a week before a few people were happy to support me. And we took it from there.
You started to pick on it there a little bit. But what makes your candidacy to be South Yorkshire Mayor unique?
In terms of being unique, which I think it's my experience that I have. So I got into politics. Well, I've been political since I was probably born, but really got into it when I was about 13 or 14. But like so many people, didn't think that people like me went into politics. You know, growing up in a northern town, working class family, politics was something that we did on a Thursday night once a year in May, and voted for people that had far more intelligence and opportunities than we did. So I've always been political. And over the last 30 odd years in the careers that I've had, I've always had my Labour values at the heart of what I do. So a lot of the work that I've done has been about transforming, it's about working with communities and delivering with them rather than to them. It's about putting those seldom heard people in the decision-making seat, which I think is so important. So then when I came into politics in 2015, I had all that brilliant experience to bring, which I just think, for me, that's what makes it, you know, the candidacy quite unique. And the level that I've worked at in those sectors. So the sectors I've worked in have been local government, the NHS, the voluntary and community sector, and the private sector. I've been there at the front line as a student nurse and a staff nurse, but then through career progression, being at that strategic decision-making chief officer level as an officer. So I think that's all been really invaluable in being a councillor. And I think when I was elected in 2015 as the only Labour councillor in my ward, I was able to hit the ground running because I had all that experience and that partnership working.
So what qualities do you think that you have that makes your candidacy unique?
So I think, well, I think there's two that stand out and people have referred to, is that it's unique because I'm not from Sheffield, whilst I go to Sheffield a lot and, you know, I explain about my daughter's football and everything. I'm not from Sheffield, and I am, as also has been pointed out, the only candidate that isn't white. So I think that makes my candidacy unique. But I think it's, that's just two factors. And I think my uniqueness is in terms of my huge experience that I've got, because for me, this role is about partnership working. This isn't about an autocratic role where it's your ideas that matter. It's, yes, yes, it is about having your commitments and your pledges that you've got to deliver. But most importantly, it's about working with those four local authority leaders, about the local enterprise partnership chair and other leaders like police and crime commissioner, integrated care system, and delivering what we need for South Yorkshire. And I think that's just so important. And it's that experience that, in terms of partnership working, coming along with ideas and trying to convince senior people that this actually is a good thing that you're trying to do. And I have a track record of doing that, you know, developing new services that people at first are, well, that's never going to work. I'm not going to invest in that. But through persuasion and influencing and demonstrating, people do get on board. So I think that's very unique. I think the other thing that's unique in terms of my qualities is my ability to win difficult elections. I've been elected three times now. First time, the only Labour councillor. Second time, we got two. Third time, we've turned the seat a solid Labour seat. Particularly gratifying is because it's where our Conservative MP lives. We've had him since 2019. And in an award that traditionally elected Conservatives or independents. So it's not as though I've held a safe seat. It's not as though I've been parachuted in or anything like that. But I've had to, through hard work, understand what makes a good candidate.
What do you think is South Yorkshire's biggest challenge? And what would you do if elected to try and tackle that?
For me, the biggest challenge is the challenge that's facing everybody, which is about how we tackle the climate emergency. But the biggest issue for me in South Yorkshire is how we do that, is to get more people using public transport. And it's been, you know, we've had debates in this campaign already about people's views on whether it's public ownership, whether it's franchised or something else. But that to me isn't the debate. The debate is, what can this mayor do to encourage people who proudly tell me that they haven't been on public transport in 30 years because they don't need to? And the reason for that may be because they don't have a bus service at all, which is the same for some people in my ward, sadly, amazingly. In 2022, that's the case. Or they, you know, the service is just not reliable enough. It's not frequent enough. And if they do get to the, you know, they get to the bus stop, they're not sure when the bus turns up. So people don't use public transport for so many reasons, whether that's people that use just the bus to get them to their workplace or use the bus to get them to the interchange, whether Barnsley, Doncaster, Rotherham, etc. Or whether it's people that use them to get to, I used to get the bus at 20 past six in the morning with somebody that had come all the way from Gainsborough. I got on at Bawtry, was then getting to Doncaster, was then getting a train to Sheffield, and was then getting the tram to work in Sheffield. Well, her commute was about 3 hours long. And if any of those things didn't happen, it would mean she'd leave the house at like 5 o'clock and not get in till 9 o'clock. And that's why people don't use public transport. So that for me is the biggest thing. And the way we need to do that is that we need to improve the basics. You know, I go out of here now and I have a bus stop where I live because I use the bus as much as I can. There's no information, you know, no information board. If the bus doesn't turn up, it might mean I miss my train or I don't get to work on time. So the way it needs to be addressed is doing the basics. So we need bus shelters that keeps people warm and dry. People need to know that the bus is actually going to turn up. We need to have more green buses that people feel aren't polluting the environment. We tend to get the old buses in Doncaster. Other places in South Yorkshire get newer ones. So some people don't want to use them because they don't think they're particularly green. And we need to increase signage. We need to enable people to understand how to use public transport better. And I think you do that by using people who use public transport and really benefit from it. And using community groups. You know, one of my big issues as a cabinet member is around social isolation. And we all know the huge role that public transport can play in actually reducing that social isolation. But we also need to get people using it. And in other areas I've worked, I've done buddy schemes. So people who perhaps are a bit nervous about using public transport, link them in with somebody that's used to it. And that person then uses public transport. But the main thing we've got to do is to get those, you know, those bus providers round the table. And instead of worrying about what the profit is, it's about what is that community need.
The Left Wingers is a youth-centred podcast. It's for young activists, by young activists in a way. So what's your offer to young people in this election?
So my offer to young people, the first thing is to actually listen to them. Because I think we make huge assumptions, whether you're young, middle-aged or old, that people in positions of the South Yorkshire Mayor know what people want. So that's my first thing that I'd want to offer. I think the work has already been done in terms of, you know, free transport for under 18s, but we need to find out if that's what people want, because there's no point in offering free travel if somebody actually hasn't got a bus and they can't actually use that free transport pass. The other thing I'm really keen to look at is culture. And I think we have an amazing cultural offer in South Yorkshire. We have fantastic, whether you're into the arts, whether you're into technology, whether you're into sport. And I'd like to look at giving 14 to 19 year olds in particular a culture voucher in terms of experience to enable them to try something that they've never actually tried before. So in particularly in terms of young people, I mean, I know we have the Youth Parliament. I've spoken to Dominic, who's obviously was standing and involved in that. We have some in my cabinet role as children's lead. I obviously work very closely with the young people's advisors. We have, you know, great democratic systems across South Yorkshire that young people can get involved in. But I'd be wanting to ask the question, and what else would you like to see? I'm particularly keen as well in terms of people having an opportunity to achieve what they need to in a way that suits their needs best. So you may have somebody that's really interested in physics, but for their family situation and their personal situation, they don't want to be able to go to university. They don't want to, that's not something that they can even think about. So we need to do an awful lot more of higher apprenticeships, different apprenticeships. A guaranteed work scheme is something that I've also said in my pledges. You know, it's more than work experience. It's about a proper paid job. I'm old. I remember YTS and things like that. But it's that proper job experience that gives young people an opportunity to try different things. One of the pledges that we have in Doncaster is to make it one of the most child-friendly boroughs. And in previous jobs, I've managed programmes like Children's Fund, which was for 5 to 13 year olds. And the one thing that really stood out is the way young people are demonised in a lot of ways. You know, I went shopping with them and we were followed around the shop. I don't know if it was because of me, but I think it was more because there was 10 of them. So I'd want to be looking at how we can do much more about intergenerational and, you know, how young people want that. There is a stigma for some young people about how they want that one to be addressed. I also think, just thinking about when I've been out doing my litter picking, we have a group of young girls that join the litter pick and chatting to them about what they want. And for a lot of them, they want to do something, but there's nobody there to support them. So one of the pledges that I've got is in terms of mentoring schemes, and not because older people are role models or anything like that, but just having somebody to talk to, particularly if you haven't got that family support, that family guidance or that community guidance, that could make all the difference between somebody, as in the case of the young lady I'm talking about, opening the cafe that she wants to because she's really into baking, because she's able to be connected or not. Or it might be that they want to go to Uni of Sheffield and do a physics degree. But I think I'll say us old people, because, you know, I'm 50, nearly 56 now. I think we've got to give an awful lot more back. I think we've got to use our advantage and experience to ask young people what more they want from us. I think that's the biggest pledge.
Thank you for that. Just kind of as we round off this interview with you, Are there any particular parting thoughts that you'd like to leave our listeners with going into the voting?
Yeah, thank you. I mean, what I would say is that vote for me is somebody who's got some life experience. You know, I've done various different jobs. I've worked in various different sectors. I am a politician. I am a councillor and a cabinet member. The strapline, if we call it that, that I'm standing on is somebody who's inclusive, determined, and really does want to make a difference. And that's the message that I would leave, that the way I work is that everybody has an opinion. And I think it's really important that we create the conditions and the foundation where everybody feels that their opinion matters. And for so many people that I talk to in my councillor role, it doesn't. And I think we've got to change that. And for some, it might be a youth parliament, but for others, it might be about having a chat or a virtual way of actually trying to engage people and find out what they want. But the most important thing is that you then, in this position, need to actually deliver. And that's something that I've done for the last 37 years.
Okay, thank you very much, Rachel, for joining us.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you for chatting to us, Rachel. We now move on to Oliver Coppard.
Okay, so without further ado, we are pleased to be joined by Oliver Coppard. Thank you for joining us here today.
My pleasure.
Okay, so we're going to start off with what should be an easy question. But being from South Yorkshire myself, I would really struggle to answer this question, I think, because there's so many great things about being from this region. But I'm going to ask you to do it. So what is your favourite thing about being from here?
You're right. There are a number of things that I could have said in answer to this question. But I think the honest answer is that my favourite thing about South Yorkshire is the people of South Yorkshire. I've lived here, born and raised in South Yorkshire. I live about 750 yards away from where I was brought up. But in between, I have kind of lived and worked in other places. So I was living in London working for a national children's charity for a few years until recently. I've lived in Washington, D.C. I've lived in Sydney briefly and all over the world. And the thing that makes South Yorkshire feel like home is the people of South Yorkshire and the community of South Yorkshire. So a few years ago, I was living in Hackney and took a job in Barnsley. So came back home, went to work at Barnsley Council. And just remember very clearly being in Barnsley, popping out for my lunch, and the difference, the contrast popping out for lunch in Barnsley versus popping out for lunch in Hackney was just chalk and cheese. Nothing against the people of Hackney, lovely people. But, you know, the friendliness, the welcoming nature of people in South Yorkshire, right across South Yorkshire, you know, wherever you are, is a wonderful thing. And I think it's what makes us potentially unique, but also is the thing that makes me sort of most proud to be from here. And the thing that I love the most about the place.
So given your love for the people of South Yorkshire, at what point did you decide, okay, I actually want to run and represent these people. I want to be their mayor.
Well, look, obviously none of us knew that the job was going to come up. Until relatively recently, with Dan taking the decision that he did. It was always something that I was aware of as a sort of big, interesting, important job, and a job that has the potential to do a lot of good for the people who live here across our community. So it was obviously something that I was aware of, but it didn't look like Dan was going anywhere, if I was perfectly honest. You know, my whole life, really, professional life at the very least, has been about public service. It's been about working on behalf of largely, you know, the communities of South Yorkshire. So I worked for Barnsley Council, as I've already mentioned. I've worked for actually all of the councils across South Yorkshire. I worked at the Sheffield City Region LEP. And as some people may know, I stood against Nick Clegg in 2015 when he was Deputy Prime Minister. And all of that was about public service. And I'm very proud of that. I think that's incredibly important. I think in this country in particular, we maybe don't recognize public services as sort of this incredibly important thing that people do. But I think, you know, for me, this is just the continuation of that idea that actually I want to make this place a better place to live, work, grow up, grow old. And I've done that, I would like to think, you know, throughout my professional life. I started campaigning when I was, 6 years old here in Sheffield with my dad. So I'd like to think that's a continuation of that process and putting myself forward to be mayor simply means hopefully that I can do the greatest good for this community going forward. So that's why I decided to stand, because I want to do good for this community and for our community and for our region. But honestly, I didn't know it was going to be a possibility until Dan announced that he was going to be standing down.
So what would you say is South Yorkshire's biggest issue at the moment? And what would you do if elected as mayor to deal with that?
Look, I love this place, and I think I can say this because this is my home and I'm from here. We've got a number of things that are brilliant about South Yorkshire. You know, I've already mentioned the people, but there's so many great things about this place. But we're not without our challenges. You know, let's be frank. We've got 1 in 3 kids living in poverty, 1 in 8 workers living in poverty, and people who live here earn about £300 less every month on average than people who live down south. You know, our economy isn't big enough. We're 1 million miles away from getting to net zero. Our public transport system doesn't work well enough for the people who live here. So there's any number of problems that we're facing and that the next mayor will have to take on, you know, that will be in their inbox from day one. For me, though, I think that's all tied up with sort of an overriding problem, which is arguably a little bit harder to put your finger on. But actually, I think is all the more important for that, which is this sense of pride and purpose. You know, I grew up here in South Yorkshire in the 80s, and it used to be that South Yorkshire absolutely knew what it was about, knew what it was for, and we knew how we were going to pay our way going forward. We had a strong economy with good jobs. And then the 80s happened, and, you know, Thatcher took us all. And since then, you know, we've seen a fracturing to a certain extent of the communities that are based in South Yorkshire, as those good jobs have left and not been replaced in the same way. So actually, for me, the big job of the next mayor is replacing the pride and purpose of South Yorkshire and rebuilding that pride and purpose so that we know our place in the world and we can shout that from the rooftops. You know, you need a plan if you're going to be successful. And in order to be successful and have that plan, you need to know what you're trying to do. And what I really want to do is take a different approach to the way in which we do politics, the way in which we run South Yorkshire, so that we can rebuild that pride and purpose going forward. And if we can get that right, I don't think there's anything we can't solve.
And what in policy terms would you be trying to do if elected to create this, I suppose, new solidarity in South Yorkshire?
Yeah, it's a good word, actually. Solidarity is exactly right. That solidarity across the communities of South Yorkshire. So we're all pulling in the same direction. Genuinely, I don't think there's anything we can't do if we work together. But that word together is fundamental in that process. And solidarity is at the heart of that. So, as I say, you know, I've said repeatedly now, and it's really at the heart of my campaign, we need a different politics, a better politics, and a different approach. And that means a number of things in policy terms. For instance, I've said we should have citizens' assemblies across South Yorkshire to figure out a plan for getting to net zero, because we need to empower our communities and do politics with our communities, not to our communities. And all too often, you know, there is, I think, a tendency in the Labour Party sometimes to do politics to people rather than with people. And I don't think necessarily when you're dealing with a big entrenched problem like climate breakdown, the nature, the natural emergency that we're facing, biodiversity, etc., we can't make the changes that are required on that scale without including people in that decision-making process. So things like citizens' assemblies to find out a plan, figure out our plan for going forward and getting to net zero is one of the ways in which I think we can do politics differently here in South Yorkshire. Devolution gives us that opportunity to do those things differently, because the problem, as much as it is founded upon a lack of investment and a lack of support from central government, Tory government in London, actually, it's wider than that, which is about we need a different approach here too. So we actually need to use the powers that we get through devolution, fight for more, but use the powers that we have already through devolution to do things differently. And if we get that right, we can really, I think, make a step change in the way that we deal with those problems that I've already mentioned that we have here in South Yorkshire.
So given your answer, what experience or qualities that you currently have, what makes you qualified to be the mayor?
Look, I'm 40 years old and I've lived and worked in South Yorkshire, right across South Yorkshire for, like I say, most of my life. You know, I went away to university and got jobs elsewhere variously. But for the most part, I've lived and worked in South Yorkshire. So I know our communities. I know Barnsley, Rotherham, Doncaster, Sheffield, you know, I know the communities of South Yorkshire. And I think that gives you an insight into exactly how we approach the problems that we face and the opportunities that we have here in our region. More so than that, though, look, I think I'm the only candidate in the race. I'm happy to be corrected, but I'm pretty sure I'm the only candidate in the race that has worked for all four local authorities. So I've worked for Barnsley, Rotherham, Doncaster, Sheffield councils at various points in my career. I worked for the Sheffield City Region, as it was then, Local Enterprise Partnership, the LEP, which was the organisation that was initially responsible for negotiating the devolution deal. So I worked there with the leaders and political leaders of the local authorities, etc., across South Yorkshire. So I have that experience. I've worked in politics and public policy for most of my life. I've worked for charities. So I actually until recently, ran local government relationships for the biggest children's reading charity in the country, a charity called Book Trust. And now I run my own business, working on campaigns with trade unions, charities, and social movements. Alongside that, you know, as I said before, stood against Nick Clegg in Sheffield Hallam, and built, I think, quite a significant campaign there. And then ran the Remain campaign up north in Yorkshire, the Humber and Lincolnshire. So I've got a range of experiences to bring to this role. But first and foremost, I think it's that understanding of the communities of South Yorkshire, the opportunities that we have to go forward, the challenges that we need to face, and how to bring people together. And that's not just about hard skills and experience, it's about soft skills too. And I'd like to think I've got all of those in that package, and hopefully can do a good job as mayor.
So one of the things that we particularly care about on this podcast, in part because we have a large young listenership, is the candidates' offer to young people in South Yorkshire. So what's your unique offer to young people living, working, studying in the region?
So it's a really important question, actually, and I don't think it's one that's asked enough. So as well as the stuff I do professionally, I'm also the volunteer chair of Sheffield Hallam Students' Union, which represents, you know, 30,000 students across our region. A lot of the work that I've done, for instance, the job that I did at Barnsley Council, was particularly focused on aspiration and achievement amongst young people in Barnsley. You know, really focused on that agenda. And I think it's one of those areas where, you know, politicians, wherever they are in terms of the age spectrum, need to focus on young people being able to kind of get on in our region. One of the things that I'm sort of really driven by is this idea of, what does somebody growing up today in Barnsley, Rotherham, Doncaster, Sheffield, what do they see their future as in our region? Because currently at this moment in time, all too often, in order to succeed, in order to get on, to get a good job, live a good life, et cetera, actually what you need to do all too often is leave, you know, because your future in South Yorkshire is not necessarily as big and as bold as it might be or would have been necessarily in the past. So actually, our young people need to see their future here in South Yorkshire. And again, it goes back to that idea of pride and purpose. How do we rebuild the pride and purpose of South Yorkshire? Now, some of that's about the economy. So some of that's about making sure we have good jobs for people to go into. And I've talked about, for instance, developing the cultural and creative and digital economy in places like Barnsley, for instance. We have a really strong digital economy. So building that so that young people can have good jobs to go into in those sorts of fields. But it's also, for instance, about the innovation corridor that we have from Doncaster to Sheffield, where we have employers like Boeing and McLaren, right? World leading companies who are based in our region, but that offer needs to be bigger, and we need to support that growth through inward investment and making sure we're bringing those employers into our region, and then supporting those companies that are based here already. Companies like, for instance, ITM Power, who are developing hydrogen solutions, which are the jobs of the future. All of those things mean we can grow our economy going forward and give young people here a stake in our region and a future to look forward to. And if we can get that right, we can keep the brilliant young people of South Yorkshire in our region and grow that future together.
Okay, so what makes your campaign different from the other campaigns in this race? What's your unique selling point to Labour Party members, to the electorate, that sets you apart from the next best person?
Sure. I think this is one of the things about running in a selection versus an election, in the sense that I would like to think that any Labour candidate who is putting themselves forward for this role would be better than the alternatives. So let me just say that from the off. You know, we want a Labour mayor of South Yorkshire, whoever that might be. What would I say about my own candidacy and why I think I might do things slightly differently? Well, look, I think it's about my willingness to take a different approach and my focus on this idea of doing politics differently. I'm the only candidate in the race who has never been a councillor. Now, some people, I think, see that and might wonder about me and why I've put myself forward. The reason I've put myself forward is exactly that, because I think we need to do things differently here in our region to grasp the opportunities of devolution and make sure that we are changing the way that we approach politics, the way that we empower and engage our communities, that we listen to our communities, so that we're actually moving forwards together. This is about the whole of South Yorkshire, and we need a mayor who's going to bring people together to work together in order to move our region forward. But that will take a different approach and a new approach to politics, and that's exactly what I want to offer. It's what I've done before, and it's what I absolutely did when I ran against Nick Clegg in 2015, built a community-based campaign to take on the Deputy Prime Minister. It's what I've done throughout my career, be it in charity, public service, working for local authorities. That different approach is what drives me and what I want to do as mayor.
Okay, so this is your last opportunity to leave our listeners with a parting message about you or your campaign.
Well, look, I think vote for me is possibly the simple answer to that question. But, you know, more broadly, I do think let's work together is probably the message that I want to put out to members, not just of the Labour Party, but anybody who might be listening to this based in South Yorkshire. If we do work together, there is nothing we can't do. And I'm very clear about that. So let's work together. Let's come together. And let's work on building that better South Yorkshire that I know everybody who lives here wants to see. So vote for me first, but then let's work together after that and see where we can go.
Thanks for being with us, Oliver. We now move on to Lewis Dagnall.
We're pleased to be joined by Lewis Dagnall. Thank you so much for agreeing to come on and talk with us.
I'm delighted to join you.
Okay, so we're going to start off with what should be, I think, an easier question, but the nature of that we're asking you to narrow it down to only one is probably the difficulty of it. And as somebody from South Yorkshire, I would find it very difficult to narrow down my favourite things to just the one. But what is your favourite thing about being from South Yorkshire?
I can't do that, I don't think. I'm going to have to give you two. They are connected intimately, I think. The two are, it's the people and the landscape. And I think they are, you know, a sort of person in Sheffield who looks at a hill, as steep as they are, and goes, yeah, that's a great place to build a house on. It's a sort of stubbornly creative and imaginative person, and that's what makes our region great, is the people, sense of humour, their spirit, their creativity, their ingenuity.
Awesome. So when did you decide to run for South Yorkshire Mayor? What was the kind of the moment where you thought, oh, this is something that, you know, is an opportunity open to me and actually I want to take it?
Well, not very long ago, to be honest. You know, when Dan announced that he was stepping down, you know, that led to some conversations, and I had quite a few people approach me and say, look, this is a good opportunity for somebody who believes in what we believe in to put themselves forward. You know, they put themselves forward and articulate what a Green New Deal means in practice in South Yorkshire. So I had a think about it and I thought, yeah, you know, I think that our region is crying out for a Green New Deal that brings people together around these issues of a just transition. And so, you know, with the background and the experience I've got, I was a good person to put that forward.
How would you go about defining what a Green New Deal is when you present it to the wider public? What is the thing or the things that you want out of that Green New Deal?
Well, so to the, you know, for widest possible audience, the basic idea is that nobody should lose out. We're having to make an economic transition, which is massive. It's fundamental. It's, you know, the past hundreds of years of, I mean, not the entire Industrial Revolution. At the start of the Industrial Revolution, it was done by renewable energy, by water mills in the Rivelin Valley and uplands in Sheffield. But there was a point in the Industrial Revolution where it switched to fossil fuels. And that put, you know, jetpacks, literally, in some, you know, in the 20th century behind it, and started destroying our planet in earnest. And I think that what people in our region are worried about is that they hear, you know, the idea of an economic transition and the need to get rid of fossil fuels. And they think about the gruesome experience in the 80s and 90s of having our industry forcibly ripped away from us and communities left behind and communities literally beaten back and beaten down if they resisted, like, you know, in Augur, even many other examples of the miners' strike. So if there's anywhere that needs the case for a just transition put in, it's South Yorkshire. But that's the essence of it. That's the essence of the New Deal. The essence of the New Deal is that the government steps in and takes a lead in the public interest to make sure that nobody loses out. And in fact, the end result is a juster, fairer society that addresses many of the problems that we face today.
So what do you think South Yorkshire's biggest challenge is? Do you think it's that just transition? And what, in terms of policy, would you do to go about tackling that?
Well, in policy terms, I've got a much more specific answer. It's public transport, specifically buses and to some extent trams. Our public transport system is rubbish. It's for the last 30 years of privatisation has sabotaged what was once the best public transport system in the country. You know, we've got buses which are unreliable. We've got a network which is fragmented and we've got people paying an arm and a leg for the privilege of using it. And that holds us back in many ways. You know, when I talk about like the need to sort out public transport, yeah, it's a transport policy, but it's actually a health policy because it means people can get to their appointments at the doctors or at the hospital. And it's an education policy because it means that people can get to college or get to school. It's a jobs policy because it means people can get to work at the jobs that they want to do. It's a leisure policy and an environmental policy because it means that people can go out and enjoy our wonderful landscape in a low carbon mass transit system. So I think that it's a specific issue that we're facing around the precipitous decline of our public transport, which I need to say is a lot worse than comparable city regions. But if you resolve it, you actually feed in a wide range of policy areas that we're struggling in.
So what experience do you have going into this race that makes you feel like you're qualified to be the next mayor of South Yorkshire? Because obviously the role is multifaceted, really. It's got kind of working with councils and council leaders at one end, but also you're that kind of representative on the national level. So what experience do you have that you think makes you ready for that kind of an experience?
Yeah, so I mean, there's two different senses of this. The first is the sort of direct experience. You know, I was a councillor for six years in Sheffield, and I also became cabinet member responsible for policies around transport, around the climate emergency. I had experience working on skills. Most high profile, I led the resolution on street trees. And that experience of taking such a bitter dispute where there was, you know, people thought we'd got to a dead end. They couldn't imagine a happy resolution. Well, today in Sheffield, we've got former campaigners, or, you know, they're still campaigning, but we've got campaigners, we've got workers, council officers who were set against each other in this dispute, are working together to implement a street tree strategy that they co-wrote. And that transformation from such a bitter dispute to a co-production of a policy that is now literally being implemented, you know, I think that's pretty spectacular. And what it shows is that when you've got these issues like public transport or the just transition, if you can take people along with you, you can achieve what people would otherwise write off. So I've got the practical experience of being a senior elected politician running a council. But what that actually teaches me more than ever is that you can use your imagination, you know, and you can use your belief and you can use the power of the people to change things that people might think are really optimistic. And then, so that's the first thing. The second thing is, you know, I've got experience working right across the region. You know, I've worked for both in terms of areas. You know, I've worked in Barnsley and I've campaigned across every part of South Yorkshire in elections. I've worked in the public sector, I've been a councillor, I've worked in education, in higher education, in the charitable sector. I currently work in the private sector for a small manufacturer. And so, like I say, I know that across South Yorkshire, there's fantastically creative and ingenious people doing fantastic work that And that's the experience that makes me want to be mayor, because I want to tackle some of the barriers that I could see holding back the fantastic work.
One of the things that I've really enjoyed being a part of in South Yorkshire is the youth executive that shadowed what the mayor was doing. And so it's kind of in my interest and the interest of a lot of our listeners who are generally on the younger end to ask you kind of what is in your campaign for young people in the region? What is kind of your appeal to them?
Well, I mean, I don't know if I'm young anymore. According to the Labour Party, I'm old. I'm not in Young Labour. According to my trade union, I'm young. I think I would be the youngest elected mayor in the country if I was elected. So, so it's not too distant a memory. And look, I think there are specific challenges that young people of our generation and younger face. People growing up today will have lived most of their lives under a Tory government which has slashed public services, you know, reversed the investment that the last Labour government put in, which, you know, when I was in the last year who paid £3,500 tuition fees, you know, so I still got the benefit of that. And I look at young people who've gone through college without an EMA, who've gone to university and paid nearly 10 grand a year, who then go out and try and get a job in, you know, can't go into the public sector because it's all about job cuts. It's really, really needs to be, it can't be understated what a raw deal. And that was before the pandemic. And then young people are looking to the future and thinking, well, once we get through the pandemic, once we get through austerity, we've got the climate emergency to look forward to. So I would say, like, the essence of my manifesto is responding to what our generation are facing, which is challenges in making a living, getting a job that you want to get to. But then the long-term challenge that we all know that if we don't save the planet, we won't have one left.
What would you say really makes your candidacy unique from the other people running? What's the thing that means that somebody chooses you over the next best person almost?
Well, it's up to the voters really, but I think, you know, we had a really good hustings a few weeks ago, and I think what makes my campaign unique is principally my approach to public transport. So there's now consensus across the candidates that we need to bring in this franchising tool, which is a way of instructing private companies to run the buses in the public interest. But I think that's a beginning and not the end of the change that we need to see, because my dad's worked on the railways. He started under British Rail and he's been for 30 years under privatisation. And that's run on a, you know, not totally dissimilar franchising system whereby private companies run the railways on a contract specified by the Department for Transport. And you can see that just having for-profit companies involved in public transport just doesn't work. And my fear is that if you can go to the huge effort to bring in a London-style franchising system, but it's not the full change we need if you've still got the same private companies running it. So what I'm saying is, in my first term, I'd be appointing a publicly owned company to operate that bus franchise. And I'd also be cancelling the contract that Stagecoach have to run the Supertram and bring the Supertram in-house. Because if you look at the Supertram in particular, well, it's not so super anymore, is it? Because whereas Manchester has exploded in its tram expansion, so, you know, nearly every part of Greater Manchester has got a tram line. South Yorkshire, you know, we've added like two new stops in 30 years. And I want people in Barnsley and Doncaster who have been paying for the tram to be able to use it. And so I think that where's that money gone? It's gone away in shareholders' profits. And so if we have a publicly owned tram company, we can reinvest the money we make out of it into expanding it. What I'm setting out to do, which I think is distinct, and is distinct from a lot of other city regions, is to grasp the nettle of saying we actually need to bring these into full public operation alone and ownership if we're going to sort it out.
And just as kind of a final message to our listeners who are casting their ballots in South Yorkshire, what would be your parting statement that you'd want them to take away from this recording with us today?
It's that we can do better. we can get South Yorkshire moving, you know, literally and in terms of all aspects of our economy and our education and skills system, we can get South Yorkshire moving a lot faster than it is today. And all it takes is for us to have an ambitious and creative manifesto like the one that we've put forward to achieve that.
Thank you, Lewis, for coming on to speak to us today.
Well, it's thanks to you guys. I mean, it's, you know, we've got, with devolution, this experiment that we're having having devolution of the north of England, what's really important is we've got more powers devolved, but we also, with that responsibility, we need more debate and we need more scrutiny of politicians wanting to take it up. So I just think it's fantastic that you guys are putting together this podcast and bringing that scrutiny to the Labour Party selection, because this is a really important job and it needs the attention and the scrutiny that you're giving it.
Thank you for speaking to us, Lewis. We now move on to Jane Dunn.
We are pleased to be joined by Jane Dunn. Thank you for agreeing to come and talk to us.
You're welcome. Nice to see you.
So we're going to jump right in and ask you, what is your favourite thing? And it is difficult. You've got to pick only one thing about South Yorkshire.
Right. Yorkshire pudding. And I'm going to tell you why, if that's okay. Yorkshire pudding's got a really, really interesting history, is the fact that it's associated, and I'm going to claim it for South Yorkshire, because of the coal industry and the fact that it created so much heat, that is why a good Yorkshire needs a really, really hot oven to make it rise and make it crispy. But the really important thing while I've chosen this is because the Yorkshire pudding reminds me of my childhood and my grandma, my granddad. And it's that sense of family and community that having that Yorkshire pudding with his part of his Sunday dinner brings. So to me, it kind of unites South Yorkshire. But it also, where on earth would the country be without Yorkshire pudding? That is why I've chosen Yorkshire pudding, because to me, it represents the bringing together of South Yorkshire, that really strong sense of community. And it's also absolutely unbelievable. And it always makes you feel better. And you can have it with gravy or you can have it with syrup.
Oh, well, I mean, I completely agree with you. There's always room for Yorkshire puddings on a table. Just speaking a little bit more about you, why and when did you decide to run to be Mayor of South Yorkshire? Why did you think that now was the best time?
Well, when Dan announced he was standing down, I got contacted by quite a few members within about 20 minutes. And it was kind of, whoa, and the typical, which will admit, a woman thing. Oh, really? Could I do this? And I think women do that more than men. And it was like there at the back of my mind. And I'm thinking, well, why not? And then I went out into my ward a couple of days later and I'd gone to a food bank and I was arranging to meet this group of women who'd really been struggling with a really difficult time and their lack of trust in society, in local government, in anybody. They just had lost it. And this guy had arranged for me to meet them. And he said, Jane, they really, really want to meet you. And I was talking to this young woman and her story has stayed with me ever since. And I was she was going on about what were they going to do for the children and everything else. And I turned around and said, what about you? And she said, what do you mean, what about me? And I said, well, what are we going to do for you? Because she hadn't even thought. And I said, what did you want? She said, I wanted to be a medical secretary, but I dropped out because she got involved with the wrong bloke, right? Ended up having a couple of kids, not the end of the world, but she saw it because society and the way that the Tories have hit, they've made it so hard. If you make the smallest mistake to pick yourself up and then you just go down. And I said, well, you know, you could pick college back up. And she said, no, it's not meant for girls like me. And I just said, but it is, because I did it. I restarted my life. And she said, what, you? And she had no idea about my backstory and where I'd come from. And I said to her, right, a couple of issues, send me an email. And the fact that she emailed me, according to the youth worker that's been helping the families, said she would never have trusted a politician before. And she said, I really felt she really connected with me. And then I kind of thought all the issues that she's talking about, access to training, the fact that her kids couldn't get to the football to do karate, that she couldn't visit her friends and family across the city at the moment, were all down to issues that were from the mayor. And I just thought, do you know what? I'm going to have a go. So here we are. So it was actually that woman that I apparently inspired her, but she inspired me. And that is what politics is about to me. If it doesn't make a difference at the grassroots, there is no point to it, because we can all practice amazing speeches and we can all do these fantastic things and we can say everything, but we've got to make a difference. And I think I've always been quite pragmatic, but my values come from a really kind of, when people talk rhetoric about it, I've lived it. And I didn't even realise that. And that comes from the way that I've come into politics. It's exactly why we door knock, is to change people's minds, is to make them believe in politics. And then they get involved. But far too often, the people that get involved like I do don't end up being the politicians. And I think sometimes I kind of felt like, oh, I can't be a politician because I didn't come up through a trade union movement. My family were not overtly political. But actually, that's exactly why we need people like myself as politicians. And I'm not saying that everybody that doesn't come up like that, you know, isn't valued, but we need a big mixture, don't we? And I think by having that broad church of people that come from different areas and from different influences. So that young woman has inspired me, and I can't wait to go back after Christmas and tell her, hopefully, that I've been chosen as the candidate. And everything I'm doing is to make life possible for that young mum. Because if I can make it possible for her, we can make it possible for everybody in South Yorkshire.
Well, you started going into it a little bit, but what experiences do you have that makes you think that you're qualified to be the next mayor?
Mayor, 10 years experience in local government on top of a load of life experience. And I really believe that we do need the life experience as well, because this is not a job interview for a CEO of a company where you're judged on your CV. That part is there because it's my experience, which I'll go into in a moment. But it's also your life experience, because people have lost faith in politicians because they think they're just going to say everything. So I've had the broadest range of experience since I came in. I was a cabinet lead on the environment. I came into post in late November, early December, if my memory, and we had the worst snowfall we'd ever had. So I became an expert in gritting. I knew everything, you know, about gritting, but they wouldn't let me go in a gritter. So that was the bit I was a bit upset about. And I also chaired Sheffield's first Green Commission, where we looked at how to tackle climate change. So a lot of the issues that are now, which I'm really excited about in Sheffield, in Labour's Green New Deal, were things we were looking at then. So really progressive. Chaired the first Green Commission, which looked at blue and green energy. It looked at all the solutions, active travel. It worked with business. It worked with voluntary sector. It worked with charity organisations, everybody. And we had speakers coming from all over the place to give evidence. Ours were held in public as well. So it was really interesting. And this document, while slightly outdated now, the principles are still there. So I think that is kind of the approach I would be taking moving forward. I then moved on after that. I took, when Harry Harpin was made the MP, took over the housing portfolio, which was, for me, social housing saved my life. It really did. And this to me was like my dream portfolio. And there were so many challenges with it, within homelessness, asylum seekers and housing. And the work I did on housing was so intuitive and so instinctive. I had no idea until, when you're putting your portfolio together to apply for something like this, you don't realise how much you've changed. And it was actually, why can't we build? We need social housing. Tory policy, the debt cap. John Healey doing great work at challenging government at the time. I got in touch with him and said, look, you know, we've really got the appetite here because we've got the land, we've got the need, and I know what we want to do. So I wrote to Brandon Lewis at the time. I think I tweeted him every other day. I'm surprised he didn't get an order out about me. I tweeted him, I wrote to him, which I do all the time with wherever I've got challenge ministers, got officers to give evidence, went down to London, met with them, met with John. And eventually the debt capped, as I got moved out of the portfolio into my education and skills, the first full council we had, they announced they were lifting the debt cap. And that meant that council houses, we could build more. But I also began the first council house building programme in decades. And I was on the local government party political broadcast under Jeremy. And because Sheffield's homes were energy efficient, they were adapting for needs. So it shows that you can build really high quality housing, which means people live there. And they can afford to put the heating on, for goodness sake. They're not choosing between feeding their kids or buying them a comic, taking them to the theatre. Do you know, all those things that are so important that I struggled with. Then I went on to education and skills, which, again, is part of the mayoral portfolio. Absolutely loved it, working with the teaching unions, challenging government again. I do love a good challenge of government. I've got a few letters waiting to go now, especially about the abysmal way that they've handled all the ventilation systems, etc., for the schools. Challenging over school funding, did a massive campaign led by the children, the parents, the teachers, the media, bringing the unions together. And I think that is, it's just, it all comes so naturally to me, creating this noise, bringing everybody together about school funding. And adult education skills is something that really changed my life. And when I hinged into that and managed to achieve it, that is where I am today. So I know the importance of adult education. I also know how intimidating it can be when I walked in to do my teaching degree and everybody had got a laptop and I hadn't got one. They all knew big words that I didn't know. And I remember getting the highest mark in an essay. And I said to him, how come I got that? And he said, because you just answered the question, Jane, and you did it straightforward and people understood it. He saw something that I still struggle right now to see in myself. I didn't go to uni. I went straight off into, I went to art college actually, and then I went and got a job. And I think there's something about when you go to university, and it's amazing, and it did it for my son, how you don't see any barriers. You don't really feel that aspiration isn't for you. But if you haven't had that education, you often don't. So you have to imagine yourself as it. And I still have to imagine myself as the mayor. I don't automatically assume it. And it was really interesting when I was discussing this with somebody and they said that's because of the way that you were educated. And that is why. So that is what, but then that's my strength then, because I know what barriers we need to overcome it. So I've chaired planning committee, which I did for 2 years, chaired the first one virtually. So I've got a good understanding of infrastructure, planning law. So I think I've got the full package, if I'm honest.
You mentioned a lot in your answer, but if you had to pick, you know, if South Yorkshire has one biggest challenge that you think the mayor or you, if you're selected and elected or somebody else, if there's one challenge that is the biggest and the one that you think the mayor would be the best place to tackle, what would it be and why?
I'm going to say skills, education. Okay, because to attract investment, we need a skilled workforce. And yes, I want people from outside to want to come to South Yorkshire and work. But I also want the massive talent that hasn't been tapped into to have that opportunity to get those jobs first. So upskilling, like the young woman I talked about earlier, I want her to see those as jobs of the future. And I also, as we are heading in our just transition to net zero, I want to do the upskilling so those workers don't suddenly fall off a cliff edge. But to do all of this, to upskill and to have that chance that anybody, I mean, I'm a beauty therapist by trade, okay? And I might be sat here if I wasn't going for mayor thinking, do you know what? Do I really want to work 6 days a week, stood on my feet? I'd like to retrain these green new jobs of the future. How can I do that? So it's education for all, irrelevant of your age, where you come from. So the skills to me is massively important, how we get that in to our communities from the basic level of encouraging somebody to pick up a course that they dropped out of 6 years ago and to nurturing people to go further, to take degrees. And I mean, I'm a big lover of T-levels. I'm a big lover of doing education while you're working and training, because going away isn't for everybody. And if I'm honest, I want to keep everybody in South Yorkshire. No, I don't. I'm not joking.
Just as a final question, I'm somebody who's been involved in the South Yorkshire Youth Executive, and I've seen how the current mayor has interacted with young people in the region. And I just want to know kind of what your offer is to young people. We've got a lot of young people listening to our podcast, and that's why I ask this. But what's your unique offer to young people in South Yorkshire?
Unique is the way... I think by just the fact that I've always really encouraged listening to young people, it comes intuitively. And I know that a youth mayor's council is something that I would encourage. And I think it's about whatever we're doing, it has to have a thread. It has to reach the young, it has to reach the old, and it has to reach every corner. But the young, I mean, I think everything that I want to do, I want to run past to make sure that it's working for everyone. Because you're going on about young people. It's connecting with our schools, job opportunities. When investment comes through the mayor's office, I want apprenticeship programmes in there. And I want these to be... if people want to take a degree at the same time or train while you earn, so we can make them as flexible as possible. And I mean, a lot of our young people are carers, and I want to do a lot of work with our care leavers as well. I mean, whatever policy we put in place, I want to kind of means test it against young people, as well as means testing it against every single age group. And I'll just finish by when I went to a primary school in the summer, and they were teaching philosophy, and it was really interesting, and I've learned a lot from there. And when I was chairing a meeting, I actually used what the children had taught me. And what they were learning about was when you were all sat together to make sure everybody, they said, to make sure everybody has an equal voice, is, as we've all been in meetings, haven't we, it's always the same five people that speak. They would decide beforehand that you could only speak three times or twice. And that was so everybody's voice could be heard. And I actually used that in a meeting and said, no, actually, you've spoken, you know, I actually introduced it that way so that, you know, you could hear everyone's voice. So I think that's for me learning from young people. So it might not be unique in the word, in the way of unique, but to me, it goes without saying that everybody from cradle to grave should have an equal say. But obviously the energy and excitement of the young people and how they can help everybody else in our community is what I've done all my career and is what I want to continue doing.
Thank you again to all of our candidates for coming on to speak to us. If you'd like to learn more about them, you can find links to their campaign websites in the episode description.
We hope that by listening to this episode, you feel much more informed when voting for Labour's candidate to be South Yorkshire Mayor. If you're eligible to vote, then you should have received an email from the Labour Party.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, please follow us on social media. The links are in this episode description as well. And please tell your friends about us. It's the main way we grow our podcast.
Keep whinging, and we'll see you soon.